Everyone who hateth his brother is a murderer. Words taken from today's epistle. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We are in the midst of what was always known from the High Middle Ages until the mid-20th century as the Octave of Corpus Christi. Having commemorated the Passion, Resurrection, and Ascension of our Savior, having celebrated the descent of the Holy Ghost and the revelation of all three persons of the Blessed Trinity, the Church now wishes to return to Holy Thursday and observe with fitting pomp that most adorable mystery which endures with us long after the first Mass was celebrated 2,000 years ago. We do now what we could not do during Passiontide. We have a feast. And like the Feast of Tabernacles in the Old Law, we keep our feast a full 8 days. It is particularly providential that the Octave of Corpus Christi includes in its celebration this second Sunday after Pentecost, where we hear St. John's great epistle of charity and our Lord's parable of the great feast. Our Lord first spoke today's parable to the Pharisees to rebuke them for their hardness of heart. But if the Church repeats this parable year after year on this Sunday, it is not so that we may gloat. St. Paul warns us who have come into the true inheritance, be not high-minded, but fear. Unless our righteousness abounds more than that of the Pharisees, our lot will be no different. As Catholics, we hold that there is no salvation outside of the Church. That means we believe there is salvation for everyone within the Church. All men, Jew and Gentile, are welcome to enter it. I hope you're all familiar with the motto of the Institute of Christ the King. It is taken from the fourth chapter of the Epistle of St. Paul to the Ephesians. Veritatem facigentis in caritate. Furthering the truth in charity. That doesn't mean watering down the truth so it doesn't offend people. Far from it. Furthering the truth in charity doesn't refer to the niceness of our presentation, but to the heart of our intention. Why do we proclaim the truth to others? To show off our knowledge or pride ourselves in our position? To find a justification for scorning those outside our milieu? As Christians, our only motive for proclaiming the truth can be love. Love for God and a desire for His glory, and love for men's immortal souls and a thirst to have them share in the joys of the Christian life. Can anyone imagine St. Francis de Sales, indeed any of the saints who won souls for Christ, saying, yes, I want to bring people into the Church, at least the right kind of people, but people from that neighborhood, with that embarrassing past life, of that skin color or ethnic background, what an embarrassment they would be to us Catholics. Easier to sneer at them and make fun of them, avoid them like the plague, than to dirty our hands, showing them love and care and preaching the gospel to them. The greatest missionaries were fruitful in their ministry because their words were made fruitful by the prayers and charitable works of religious toward those most scorned in the eyes of the world. Furthering the truth in charity means taking the risk of offending people by the truth. It does not mean making a point of offending people by assuming their bad will. What should we do if we see a person show up to church or to a picnic immodestly dressed, or if we learn that a person is in an immoral living situation. Assume people's goodwill until you learn otherwise. Educate with gentleness. And never speak before praying and doing all you can, even in the moment, to show good example. St. Bernard said, just as we have faith, hope, and charity, but the greatest of these is charity, so we have words, good example, and prayer, but the greatest of these is prayer. Here we see that the virtue of prudence is not a euphemism for cowardice. Prudence brings all the other virtues, including truth, to their full effect. It is the virtue by which we gain our erring brother, provided that our intention is animated by the virtue of charity. We all know that the word racist is bandied about ceaselessly in our time. The use of this term has become an almost invincible weapon, wielded to silence political opponents, shut down all rational discussion, and destroy people's reputations. In a word, to cancel them. Full of frustration as this tiresome state of affairs drags on, faithful Catholics might easily lose sight of the fact that racism, properly defined, is indeed a sin, and often a grave one. To judge others in thought, word, or action as evil or inferior merely because of their race or ethnic background is a grave offense against justice. Justice is the cardinal virtue by which we render to each what is due to him. And every man is entitled to his good name, which he cannot justly forfeit outright just because of his skin color or family heritage. Of course, we must form reasoned judgments of people. The virtue of prudence dictates no less. But such a judgment must be based on a man's character and conduct, not his complexion or his last name. Even more importantly, racism is a sin against charity. Charity is not the virtue by which we act nice to everyone. It is a supernatural virtue infused into our soul at baptism and seated in the will, by which we love God above all things and all men for God's sake. Charity is the virtue by which we will eternal happiness for all the fallen children of Adam. Seen in light of our Great Commission as disciples of Jesus Christ, racism is a terrible scandal and a stumbling block to evangelization. If we are already known as haters of men, what good are all our fine words in defense of the truth of the gospel? They are as a sounding gong or clanging cymbal. Only if we are known as loving and doing good to all men can we possibly hope to convince Jews, Muslims, polytheists, secularists, that however sincere their beliefs, they do not possess the words of eternal life. Now, it is quite another matter to comment on politics and world affairs, criticizing the policies of certain nations and propounding theories of certain wicked men, perhaps united by a racial or national bond, conspiring to bring about evil in our world. Speech of this sort, though it may sometimes be factually incorrect, should not be labeled as racist, and there can be an appropriate time and place for it. Under certain circumstances, however, engaging in such conversation, even if one avoids all lies and exaggerations, can be a sin against prudence. For again, we must ask the question, what does such conversation have to do with the salvation of souls? If you speak in this way very often, I ask you, are you giving as much time to prayer and spiritual reading as you are to the internet? It would be very inappropriate if, by insisting on these subjects of conversation, you gave to other Catholics or to newcomers the impression that subscribing to certain conspiracy theories was a necessary part of being a good Catholic. What a scandal it would be for a priest to proclaim from the pulpit that you have to belong to a particular American political party in order to be a good Catholic, or to begin his Sunday sermon with a morning brief on the latest purported machinations of some secret society. The priest is just as likely as the layman in the pew to hold a wrong opinion about such topics. The children of light are never going to beat the children of this world at their own game. We serve a king whose kingdom is not of this world. All conspiracy theories and political commentaries fall short of the whole truth. There is one true conspiracy at work in our world, the conspiracy of the devil. And millions of pitiable men, since they lack supernatural faith, are part of that conspiracy without even realizing it. As St. Paul warns us, put on the armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the deceits of the devil. For our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and powers, against the rulers of this world of darkness, against the spirits of wickedness in the high places. There is only one reason why we Christians should ever be found offending others. It is when, after having prayed for others, showed them kindness and good example, we tell them the Lord's truth about how they should believe and act, and they don't like what they hear. To such persons, we owe no apology. We commend them to God, and if they pose an obstacle to our own practice of virtue, we avoid them henceforth and go our way. But far be it from us, dear children, to hate anyone on this earth who has been formed from the same clay as we. St. John declares, everyone who hateth his brother is a murderer. Let it not be said to any of us on Judgment Day that we murdered souls because our hatred barred them from the truth. Pentecost has come with tongues of fire. The Spirit of the Lord hath filled the whole earth, and that which containeth all things knoweth every tongue. The Lord hath redeemed us by his blood from out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and made of us a kingdom for our God. And on this Sunday, when we celebrate the greatest gift he hath left us until the end of time, his most precious body and blood, let us heed his call. Go quickly into the streets and bring in hither the poor and the feeble, the blind and the lame, into the highways and the hedges, and entreat the people to come in, that my house may be filled. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.